This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. In one particular week this past July, there were 9,500 inmates in Minnesota prisons. That same week, Wisconsin housed almost 22,000 prisoners. That disparity has existed for decades between the neighboring states with similar populations. There is a growing sentiment that Wisconsin needs to change its ways. A group of clergy members is leading an effort to cut Wisconsin's prison population in half by 2015, and some Wisconsin counties, including La Crosse, have created programs designed to keep offenders out of jail and rehabilitate them so they don't reoffend. The La Crosse County Board may be asked to endorse a grassroots movement called the Wisconsin Community Justice Reinvestment Project. The idea is to get the Wisconsin legislature to reward counties with money, $15,000 for each person they keep out of prison. It currently costs about $30,000 per year to house an inmate in a state prison. The proposal is being spearheaded by Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. I recently talked with him and La Crosse County's Justice Sanctions Director, Jane Claycamp. I asked John Chisholm to talk about the Community Justice Reinvestment Project.
The biggest reason is that public safety and public health and public education dollars, which are all, in my view, connected to the general issue of keeping people safe and healthy, are becoming increasingly scarce. And we want to make sure that we use those dollars wisely and we achieve the greatest results that we know will effectively reduce the number of individuals that are intersecting with the criminal justice system and thereby reduce our number of victims and stabilize the communities. It's essentially a fundamental belief that we have to have more tools and more resources to address the population that's intersecting with our system because of mental health issues, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and a wide variety of other things that result in repeat appearances and unfortunately result in repeat victimization.
So when you talk about reinvesting that money into other projects, can you talk about the specifics behind that?
The idea behind it is to develop a system at the county level. And the reason we want to develop it at the county level is that each one of the 72 counties in Wisconsin has a system in place to deal with their local problems. Unfortunately, one of the ways to deal with that is to send a large number of the problems in your community into the state system, whether it's through probation, parole, or eventually into the prison system itself. That doesn't ignore the fact that each county is also responsible for a local jail and a court system and law enforcement officers and public defenders and a host of other entities that respond to local crime issues. But over time, what we have seen is an exponential increase in the amount of money that has to be allocated to the state prison system, while also seeing a reduction in resources coming back to the local community. So what we want to be able to do is handle both of those issues. We want to control our local crime problems appropriately. In other words, what we hope to see are reductions in violent crime and crime overall. But we want to do that at the same time that we're expanding alternatives that are locally controlled. And in essence, what we want to do is create a business model with the state that says if we control our local concerns, our local problems, and do it in an effective way, we want to see some of that money come back into the local community so that we can expand those programs and deal with our problems in ways that the evidence shows us works most effectively.
And in Milwaukee County, have there been different programs that you have begun to implement or at least that you're experimenting with?
No question. Starting in 2007, we developed the Milwaukee County Community Justice Council. And the purpose behind that was to examine closely how we allocate our resources for public safety and figure out ways that we could do that more effectively. And sometimes that means reallocating towards more traditional law enforcement programs and means. But one of the seminal events was the creation of a drug treatment court in Milwaukee County. In order to do that, we relied heavily on state funding through what was called the TAD program, which is Treatments, Alternatives, and Diversions. That was funding that was made available by the legislature It was set aside for five specific counties in the state to expand their resources with respect to individuals that were addicted to drugs and alcohol and develop programs that would be measured very closely for a period of time. And that occurred in 2007 as well. And we've had about 5 years of experience tracking those programs and assessing them and determining, do they work and do they save money? And a report that was recently released that tracks the effectiveness of the programs over the five-year period demonstrates fairly conclusively that they are effective programs, and they're not standalone programs. You still have to do your traditional law enforcement work. That people, we often divide the people that we encounter into two categories, and those are the individuals that habitually irritate us by committing lower-level, mid-level offenses, and those who scare us, who are the violent offenders, the people that are using guns or sexually assaulting people. We're not talking about that latter category. The law enforcement systems in all of our counties are going to continue to put a high priority and emphasis on dealing with the people that scare us, and we will do that with traditional means and methods of identifying them and holding them accountable. But that accounts for maybe 10 to 15% of the people that we encounter in the criminal justice system. The other sometimes 70 to 80% are often coming into our system who with co-occurring problems like mental health and drug addiction and alcohol addiction. And we want to make sure that we hold them accountable, but at the same time we hold them accountable in a way that stops them from engaging in that behavior in the future, so that you're not seeing them commit repeat offenses and then eventually end up in the state prison system, where we are now seeing for the first time your annual expenditures for the prison system are outweighing the expenditures in your education system.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Department of Corrections total budget from 2009 to 2011 was $2.5 billion, which seemed like a pretty high number to me, but...
Well, it's been studied closely, and this is not a liberal agenda by any means. Many states like Texas and Kansas and recently places like Virginia have all invited outside experts in to take a look, as we did back in 2008 and 2009. And those experts have come in and basically said, look, you're on an unsustainable path here, and What there's fairly uniform agreement among the people that study this is that the most effective way of dealing with it is to expand your options at the front end and make sure that you're using evidence-based programming to identify why people are coming in and then to change that behavior as quickly as you possibly can. It still requires a sifting and sorting, as it were. We have to identify those individuals that pose an immediate risk to the community, and we have to incapacitate them in some way. And that means that, like I said, for gun offenders, for violent offenders, sexual offenders, these are individuals that are not in the calculus here. We're really talking about individuals that are coming in for other reasons, and we want them to stop the behavior so that we're not expending large amounts of resources on dealing with their issues after the fact.
And Jane Claycamp, you've been working with the Milwaukee County DA's office, as well as a number of other state partners, just to start talking about this Community Adjustment Reinvestment Project concept. Can you talk about what's been going on in La Crosse?
La Crosse County has a fairly long history of working with this kind of situation, and it started even before 1997, but that's when I was hired to try to get projects like Mr. Chisholm was talking about developed in La Crosse County. And so when we heard about the Community Adjustment Reinvestment Project, we thought it would be helpful for the local Criminal Justice Management Council to hear about the project and try to determine if there was something that could be done locally to either support the project or try to help move it along.
And then locally, though, the La Crosse County courts have had veterans courts, drug courts. Can you talk about the difference that's made since those were implemented?
Sure. I mean, like Mr. Chisholm just said, the drug court and the OWI treatment court have been reviewed on a number of occasions, and both have shown that there's a reduction in recidivism for those people who participate in those programs. And what it comes down to is that we we really need to look at, again, are the evidence-based kinds of programs. We need to make sure that the right people are assessed and referred to those programs, because that will have a larger impact on the community. So for La Crosse County, there's been a long process of trying to get the lower-risk people, or the people who they might annoy us because they are the lower-level offenders that continue to get into trouble, to basically divert them from the jail and try to monitor them in the community. Again, we never want to decrease public safety. Always the goal is to increase public safety, so that again, the long-term goals are to increase public safety and also just reduce recidivism and the cost to the community.
Because some critics say that, these are almost luxurious treatment courts. It's a way to keep people out of prison, and maybe there'd be more criminals on the street. But as both of you talk about, that might not necessarily be a bad thing. Some people need help, not necessarily jail time.
Right. I mean, I think part of it, and there are, is again the risk assessment that goes along with it. So there are some fairly well-developed risk and needs assessment that are available for communities to use, so that we know who the appropriate people are to go into the programs. And that's the part that's a little bit more difficult to sell when we're trying to talk to the community about it, because when you see someone who has possibly burglarized a home or robbed somebody to get money for drugs, it's a little bit harder sell than someone who may go into the local convenience store and steal something. So it's a little bit harder to sell, but on the other hand, we know that if we work with some of the higher risk or the higher needs people, that the results in the long run will be better. So even though that can be a harder sell, it's really important that we stick with the principles of what really is effective with this population.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Jane Claycamp. She's the La Crosse County Justice Sanctions Director. And John Chisholm is the Milwaukee County District Attorney. As part of the big idea behind this project, and John Chisholm, you touched on this, is that different projects need to be developed for different communities. So what works in Milwaukee County and its criminal population there might not necessarily work for La Crosse County. There's different needs in each community.
That's exactly right, and we recognize that, and we embrace it. One of the advantages we have right now is the recently created statewide Community Justice Coordinating Council. So this was just recently enacted by the governor, and it involves a partnership across the state that is going to be focused on local community justice councils, and that's going to be, in effect, the implementing mechanism for developing what works in sort of the universal sense. In other words, what are the best practices? What does the evidence say is really effective? And then it's going to allow the flexibility for local communities to implement this in areas that they need. So you're absolutely right. Milwaukee County may have significant size and scale differences from any other county in the state of Wisconsin. You know, in effect, about 40% of your prison population comes from the Milwaukee area alone, and obviously the size and scope of the problems that we encounter here could be significant. But there's certain things that remain true about any offender that comes into the system, and certainly that remain true about our victims. And we try to address both of those needs and do it in a way that affects change and stabilizes the community and does not use resources in a way that isn't accountable to a certain extent. We actually want to increase accountability. Other systems, if you go to neighboring states, for example, like Minnesota, they actually have robust capability to take care of the individuals that are committing crimes at the county level, and they reserve their prison space for those individuals that they know pose such a significant risk that they can't be adequately supervised at the local community level. And so with similar demographics, Minnesota has a substantially lower prison population. And what we're really talking about is expanding the capacity at the local level to deal with our problems in an effective way.
Because Minnesota was one of the first states to adopt any sort of act similar to what you all hope to accomplish. That's correct, isn't it?
That is correct. They adopted it in 1972, and as a result, their expenditures on the prison system are substantially lower than Wisconsin's. And at the same time, they have not encountered significant increases in crime or anything like that. And it's important to emphasize that everything we do is based on public safety, but you can't have public safety if you don't have the resources to do it. So at some point in time, you reach a tipping point at which you are no longer adequately able to do the most critical functions because resources have been cut back in other areas. And so, in essence, we're looking to expand local decision-making, which means more accountability. Believe me, it's much easier from, say, a political standpoint simply to say, look, we just put everybody in prison, and then what the state does with them is no longer our concern. But the reality is that everybody eventually, with the exception of a very small population, everybody eventually comes back to the community that they were sent from. And we've come to recognize that unless they come back with their behavior significantly changed, you're going to repeat the process all over, and it gets incredibly expensive, and it also becomes destabilizing for your community after a period of time. So what we're not looking to point the finger at anybody, and we're pointing the finger at ourselves and saying that we can do a better job of managing our crime problem at the local level, and part of that means that we have to have more tools to do it.
And while most of this is to reduce crime, reduce recidivism, reduce jail and prison populations, all that comes down to eventually saving money in the end. Jane, I'm wondering if you can talk about how a program like this could save money in La Crosse County.
Sure. I mean, the lower the jail population is, over the long run, there's some possibility of closing down parts of jails. So, for example, in La Crosse County, the high point of our average daily population in the jail was 297 people. So every day, on average, we had 297 people in jail. And the last few years, it's been much lower than that. This year so far, the average daily population has been 185. And so what that means is that for La Crosse County, we were able to close parts of a jail. Obviously, now we've added on to the jail in the meantime, but still what it did was it basically consolidated the jail so that we have less cost overall. So that's the hope, and I believe at a statewide level, that's the hope, too, is that there would potentially be prisons that could close that could also save money. Like you said, the public safety is a big issue, but for many people, it is the cost that is part of the issue, and that how do we continue to develop programs that do reduce crime that affect the cost of jails and prisons. On the flip side, though, it's what Mr. Chisholm said, is that you want to make sure that there are local resources and local programs that can actually affect the population that gets involved in the criminal justice system to reduce recidivism.
And John Chisholm, when you had presented part of this plan to La Crosse County Committee, you had talked about one of the main focuses, I guess, is figuring out a funding source, because in order to close prison populations, you'd have to put money into some of these programs, but which comes first? So, I mean, how do you plan on tackling the funding issue, I guess?
Well, I think it has to be done on a flexible basis. And again, I think the best approach is to address it as a statewide issue, where if the local communities can demonstrate that they can substantially reduce the number of people who are being sent to the state prison system, that they would, in effect, get credit for doing that. And the more that they save, the more credit they would get. I'm always cautious, because one of the concerns of local communities is always sort of the unfunded mandate that dramatically impacts on counties and on cities. And that's a real issue. And so we've worked closely with the counties association to make sure that any plan that's developed would be based on actual performance, and that as you demonstrated that you were able to do this, you'd in effect be encouraged to continue doing it by receiving additional funds to continue the program. That's why the TAD experience is very informative. It's money that was provided by the state. It was supplemented through federal grants, and it's got a good track record. And so it's not something that we're going forward with on a hope and a prayer. This is a practice that has demonstrated its effectiveness. It's been closely examined, and again, even the practical experience in Milwaukee County, we've actually seen our crime numbers drop dramatically in recent years while we've expanded the use of diversion and treatment. So we've ultimately, there's probably about 3,000 fewer prisoners from Milwaukee County in the state system than there was in 2007 and 2008. And so that's occurring at the same time that we're seeing our violent crime numbers drop, which should always go hand in hand. That's our measuring stick. We want to make sure that the two things are occurring at the same time. Violent crime, crime in general going down, and effective use of those scarce treatment resources.
And when you mention credit, are you talking money coming from the State Department of Corrections?
That's always the most contentious issue. And you know, my position is that it's got to come from somewhere, from general revenue funding. And I certainly understand the concerns expressed by the DOC and to a certain extent their deep understanding that, you know, their institutional costs are fixed and oftentimes expanding. And so just as Jane indicates, what your goal should be over the long run is whether it's at the local level, reducing the number of pods for your local jail, or at the state level, reducing the population to the point that you could effectively talk about realigning or closing certain institutions would be the long-term solution. But in the meantime, I believe that again, if you do it on a case-by-case basis and you vet it through an entity like the statewide coordinating council so that you're using the best practices, that the state would be in a position of rewarding those counties that demonstrated, you know, the most effective use of evidence-based practices that actually resulted in keeping people safe and reducing reliance on the correctional system. And that wouldn't necessarily have to come from the Department of Corrections.
Do you see any newer TAD programs that you'd like to create beyond the drug courts, the OWI courts, the veterans courts? What else is out there that could still be formed?
Well, in my opinion, and one of the things we're addressing is just to make sure that the systems that we're using are, again, following what's been demonstrated to actually work. They actually follow evidence-based practices. And even when the original TAD language was formulated back in 2005, there was a lot that wasn't known about treatment and what the most effective way of providing that treatment was. There's been substantial increases in validated studies and an understanding of the factors that lead people to intersect with the criminal justice system and what interventions are most effective in changing that behavior. And so that's what's changed, and I think that's what we have to effectively change statewide. It's just the way we talk about crime and how we respond to it. It just requires a little bit more understanding of the system issues involved, and it doesn't always resolve with easy, you know, black and white, clear cut answers that, you know, just put more people in jail and put more people in prison and that will solve the problem. That has clearly been demonstrated not to work, and so you have to have the right people in prison, the right people in jail, and for the right amount of time. And yet you have to also make sure that the behavior is being changed through the effective use of the leverage that the criminal justice system gives you.
Jane Clayhip?
Yeah, I think one of the elements of a Community Corrections Act often is to encourage more collaboration between the local criminal justice stakeholders. And I think a really significant component of a Community Justice Reinvestment Act would be how do we ensure that everyone has the same training and information so we are all operating from the same playbook, basically, about what is the best kinds of programs, what is evidence-based practice for this population. And I think that some pretty significant steps have been taken on this, and the fact that the Department of Corrections recently did a really significant rollout of a statewide training on risk and needs assessment and how to incorporate that into practice for people who are for the Department of Corrections. And I see the different counties that are starting collaborating councils to try to work on these issues. All of those pieces of the system working together is really how I see something like a Community Justice Reinvestment Act helping us sort of meld how this works together better, because oftentimes I think there are separate parts of the system that are not working very well together, and I think a project like this could really enhance that.
You're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Jane Claycamp. She's the La Crosse County Justice Sanctions Director. And by phone, we have John Chisholm, the Milwaukee County District Attorney. So, Jane, I want to go back to what you were just talking about. Ultimately, there's sort of this unofficial group that's working together that would like to pass and create some legislation called the Community Justice Reinvestment Act. I'm sure it's just a working name, but I'm wondering if you can and talk about that and what having state legislation created surrounding this idea could accomplish.
Well, it goes back to what John Chisholm has said, is that if this can be developed and a funding stream can be managed, then it's a matter of setting up sort of the nuts and bolts, is how does it work? So how would La Crosse County or Milwaukee County or any other county get some reimbursement if we don't send someone to prison? So those are the things that haven't been worked out. I think right now the project is more about talking about the concept. Is this something that we're in favor of as far as the concept goes, and how would that work? And then I think the next steps are trying to work together with other partners and figuring out how to promote it at a state level. So I guess from my perspective is I see this as the opportunity to invite a lot more players to the table, figure out what all of our interests are. Do we all think this is a good idea? And then, again, try to promote it to the next level.
And John Chisholm, currently it is a number of DA's offices, other organizations that are related to the criminal justice system in Wisconsin, but you have yet to get any elected officials on board.
I think that's a fair assessment of it right now. There's certainly been a tremendous amount of work that's been done, not just in Milwaukee County, where we were one of only three jurisdictions, including Eau Claire, actually, that received the National Institute of Corrections technical assistance to implement evidence-based decision-making. But there's been long-standing excellent work done by the Planning and Policy Advisory Committee for the Effective Justice Strategies subcommittee that reports directly to the state courts. And they've released excellent reports just in the last year describing what works in Wisconsin and what has worked in Wisconsin. And that's where I look towards the statewide coordinating council as the vehicle in which we can eventually reach the legislators and provide them with sound information. I mean, that's the traditional Wisconsin ideal, right? And that is that academics and practitioners provide sound information on policy issues to the legislature, and that they can act in an informed way that actually promotes public safety and wisely uses scarce taxpayer dollars. So that's what I project happening in the coming year, is that through this vehicle we're able to address the legislature and take on these systemic and really important issues. You know, at the end of the day, what I'm arguing for are the resources that I think will keep my community safe. That's my fundamental obligation. But I want to do it in a way that can be replicated and can be supported statewide, so that we get away from sort of the traditional model of looking at big counties, medium-sized counties, and small counties, and everybody pulling in different directions. Ultimately, the state and certainly my community, Milwaukee, and I believe the same would be true for La Crosse, would be best served if we all operated off of a uniform template that was demonstrating that it worked and using taxpayer dollars very wisely.
Dane County, back in 2011, their Board of Supervisors passed a resolution supporting this idea. La Crosse County, it's yet to be seen whether or not they will pass any sort of resolution. But when you talk about the importance of having statewide legislation, but also being able to let counties on an individual level craft a plan, will it be important for different county boards to get involved, Jane Claycamp?
Well, I asked that question of the people who presented to us, including Mr. Chisholm, and I think part of it is always the timing. You know, this kind of kind of project starts out at a grassroots level and then it sort of rolls along. And I think for La Crosse County to either put its stamp of approval or not put its stamp on approval, as they said, is just, it's important to do sooner rather than later if we're going to support it, because that way, again, if at some point it becomes imperative that it get to the state legislature in a short amount of time, that would be something they would have in their back pocket. So, you know, the council will be talking about it this month, and it might be something we talk about for a couple of months or a few months, but it will be on the agenda.
John Chisholm, is there anything else you'd like to talk about today regarding Community Justice Reinvestment Project?
This is actually an exciting time for us to really reexamine the criminal justice system pretty much top to bottom, and my hope was it would be that we take advantage of that and really develop a unified vision that applies statewide to how we handle issues related to crime and how we handle it in an effective and wise way, with keeping our obligation to keep people safe, but also do it in a way that is affordable.
John Chisholm is Milwaukee County's district attorney. Jane Claycamp is director of the La Crosse County Justice Sanctions Program. They talked about the Wisconsin Community Justice Reinvestment Project. The proposal could mean that counties that develop programs to keep people out of jail would receive more money from state government to run those programs. The La Crosse County Board may be asked to endorse the concept in the future. Coming up next, a series of events in La Crosse next week will attempt to educate people about suicide. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.